Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled," Jesus is speaking. "Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Heavenly Father, we come to you, and we believe your word. And Father, I believe that you have something for us today. Please minister to the people and do as the scripture says, comfort us. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I get into the message, I want to remind my listeners that in about 9 days, as you listen to this, I'll be departing for Haiti. I'll be there for 2 weeks, and you've heard me talk about this before, I'm sure, if you've listened at all. But I want to remind you once again that I will be there, and I covet your prayers. Please pray for me that God would show me what to preach while I'm ministering. And also pray for the people in the churches, that they would be encouraged, that they would be strengthened, and that God would speak to them. And again, if you've listened and been blessed, understand that that's exactly what will happen when I go to minister there. I'll preach the same thing that you hear me preach here on the radio. And I'm believing, and I'm asking that you believe with me for a harvest of souls. And I thank you very much. So let's go ahead and get into the message. Now, in these three chapters, chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus spends a bit of time speaking about the Holy Spirit. He's been with the disciples now for 3.5 years, and he's spoken a little bit here and there about the Spirit. But as we see, chronologically speaking, when he is giving this lesson to the disciples, he is mere hours from being crucified. In chapter 13, we find that Jesus is at the Feast of the Passover. Now, before the Feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. So you see that this is right before he is crucified. And we could, I guess, go through this chapter. We understand that in verse 4, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself, and he washed the disciples' feet. Also, if you will look at chapter 17, this is directly after these three chapters where he's speaking about the Holy Spirit, we find the pastoral prayer. In chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples to the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, and into which he entered, and his disciples." And this is the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed. But verse 2, it says, "And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons." And we see that he is taken, and we know the rest of the story. If we've been in the faith any length of time, we know that Jesus was crucified. So again, he spends 3.5 years with his disciples, and he talks about a great many things. You can see that For instance, in the book of Matthew, he gives the great Sermon on the Mount, and he tells of how we should respond to the Word of God. He tells how we should love God and love each other. He talks about giving. He talks about the end times. He talks about a number of things. And every once in a while, he would mention something about the Holy Spirit. But right before he's crucified, he spends the last few hours that he's with his disciples, and again, right after the Lord's Supper, he spends a couple of hours telling them about the Holy Spirit. And you would say, well, why did he wait so long? He had 3.5 years. Why is it that he's waiting so long? And we'll try to go through it. But the idea is that he is leaving. He is leaving his disciples. He's leaving his church. And we know that he was crucified. We know that 3 days he rose again, and he was alive. And he spent some time, 40 days with his disciples, but then he went to heaven. And you say, well, okay, what does that mean? He said in a number of places that he would not leave us comfortless. He said that he would be with us always, even to the end of the age. Jesus today is in heaven. But also, because I'm a Christian, I can say that today Jesus lives in my heart. I know that God is all-powerful. He can do anything. But the Bible plainly says, until he comes back, Jesus is in heaven. But he sends his Spirit to testify of himself. He sends his Spirit, which comes to live in our hearts, and testify of the things that God has done, testifies of the shed blood of Calvary, testifies of the great work of salvation that God has done in our hearts and lives. And yes, Jesus is in heaven today, but by the agent of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is in our hearts. But while he was here, Jesus spent 3.5 years with his disciples. And that was 2,000 years ago, and today he is in heaven. I don't think, or I suppose we could say that I don't think it's fair that his disciples got to spend that time with him, but we don't. But what Jesus is trying to bring out, and as we'll hopefully see, the indwelling of the Spirit which we have today is a better situation than what the disciples had. They, like I said, were with him 3.5 years. They perhaps slept in the same room. They ate at the same table. They prayed together, what have you. They were with him every day. Now, I'm sure that they perhaps went to spend time with family or something. And we know that in the book of Luke chapter 9 and chapter 10 that they were sent out to minister. So they were not perhaps every day. But certainly they had the opportunity to spend time with him. And again, over the space of 3.5 years. We can say a lot of great things about Jesus. And I'm sure that it was a wonderful time being with him. But at one point, he says of John the Baptist that there was no greater prophet than John the Baptist. And it says in one place that John the Baptist did no miracle. He never healed the sick. He never raised the dead. He never did anything like that. You look at the Old Testament prophets, and some of them, Elijah, for instance, performed a number of miracles. You look at Moses when he went against Pharaoh. There were a number of things that he did that were miraculous. But the Bible says that John did no miracle. But Jesus says that John the Baptist was the greatest Old Testament prophet. And you say, why is that? Because Abraham said, you know, one day he's coming. Moses said, you know, there's a prophet coming after me. the people are going to look to him. Elijah talked about him. David sang about him. But John the Baptist was able to point his finger and say, "This is the one. This is the one." And that's a wonderful thing that he was able to do. But Jesus made the statement in one place. He said, notwithstanding all of that, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven, he that sits on the back pew, he that walks in fear, not exactly sure, some days not exactly sure even if God loves him or not, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. How can you be greater than John the Baptist, the one that says, "Hey, here he is. We've been waiting for thousands of years. Here he is." And I believe that the reason for that is that we are born again. We have the Lord living in our hearts. Our spirit has been regenerated, and Christ lives in our hearts again by the agent or by proxy, but it's the Holy Spirit in our hearts testifying of Christ. I don't know what Jesus looks like. If he came up to me, or if for some reason he happened to appear on the earth, would I recognize him? I don't know. But I do know, and I can testify, that I know when he speaks in my heart. I know when I pick up the Word of God and I read a passage, sometimes the Lord will illuminate that passage to me, and I know it is the Lord speaking. He said in one place, "My sheep hear my voice, and that they'll follow me, and they'll not follow another." And I believe that God can speak to us. A still small voice, perhaps, the witness of the Word of God, perhaps. I can't tell you how God would lead you. I can perhaps tell how God leads me. But I know his voice. Again, I don't know what Christ looks like. We can look at various pictures that have been painted, and these are guesses. We don't know exactly how he looked. But I know him. I recognize him when he speaks. I can recognize the moving of the Spirit when he's perhaps ministering to someone else and touching their heart. I know the Lord. And that to me is very precious. And there's a relationship that we can have with the Lord in our hearts that the world doesn't know anything about. He gives peace, he says in one place, not as the world giveth. He gives peace that passes or surpasses any understanding that our minds could somehow reason out. But the presence of God in our hearts is very special. And I've taken a number of minutes here telling you about it. This is something that I can testify in my own life, that God uses me, God speaks to me, God helps me, God encourages me, sometimes corrects me, what have you. But I have a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this relationship God desires with every Christian. But as I said, these three chapters, chapter 14, 15, and 16 of the book of John, Jesus takes his time to minister to his disciples because he's going to be leaving this earth. And he says here in chapter 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And we can say that he's referring to himself as a distinct person of the Trinity. And he's speaking of God, speaking of the Father. That is another person in the Trinity. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. So right here we see that he's making reference to the Trinity. And if you're a new Christian, perhaps not familiar with the word, we believe in one God. There aren't two or three gods. There's not a multitude of gods. There's only one God, but He shows Himself to us in three distinct persons. They all agree in one. They all have the same motivation. They're in perfect harmony and unity. And their purpose, God's purpose, and the three persons in the Trinity, their purpose is the redemption of man. Now, what God does outside of the Word of God, what God does outside of His dealings with man, I don't know. But the Word of God shows us how God cares for mankind. We start in the book of Genesis. God creates the world. God creates man. Man falls into sin. And then when we get to chapter 4 in Genesis, and again, that's when the fall takes place in chapter 3. But when we see in chapter 4, we see God from then on to the book of Revelation, helping man, caring for man, ministering to man, being patient with man, gently correcting man, sometimes taking man out to the woodshed when he won't hear the gentle voice. But the Bible tells the story of God's dealings with man. And again, that we believe in the Trinity, all three persons of the Trinity. But their purpose is the redemption of man. But he says here in verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And he says, "I go to prepare a place for you." We know that he's going to heaven. But he says, in the Father's house there's many mansions. And he says, "I go to prepare a place for you." Now, there's a lot there that we could talk about. There's the work of redemption. There's the fact that the sin debt had to be taken care of, and the sacrifice of Christ on the cross would accomplish that. So there's a few things that we could mention. But he's saying that God is waiting for us in heaven. And if you're a Christian and you die today, and I've asked this of hundreds of people, if you died today, sir or madam, are you sure that you'd go to heaven? And it's a question that maybe some people like or don't like. But the question remains, if you listening to me, died today, you got hit by a bus or something happened, or you had a stroke or something, if you died today, would you go to heaven? And that's a question that every person must answer. But heaven awaits, and Jesus is there, and He's waiting for us. And of course, it's the Father's house. But there's a place prepared for us. The Bible says that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. God loves us. It's evident because God the Father sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. It's evident that God loves us. But if we will turn around and love God, there's so many things that God has for us. We can make heaven our home, but there's such a wonderful relationship, which I spent some time just a bit ago talking about. There's a wonderful relationship with God that the Christian can have if he allows the Lord to do something in his heart. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." I'm going to say that again. If I go to prepare a place for you in heaven, I will come again. Buddha can't say, "I'm coming again." Confucius can't say, "I'm coming again." The world's religions will make all sorts of claims. But the only, and I hate the word, but the only religion that has its founder or its Savior or Messiah or something dying, rising from the dead, going to heaven, and then coming back for the followers, that's Christianity. That makes me want to shout. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus is coming again. You can read the book of Revelation. You can read through some of the Gospels, Matthew chapter 24 and 25, what have you. You can read through the Old Testament. You can look at for instance, the book of Zechariah that talks about the end times. You can read the book of Daniel. You can read all through the Word of God. And you will find references again and again and again to what we know as the second coming of Jesus Christ. We understand that Christ came the first time. We can read it in the Gospels. And I mentioned it just a bit ago that He came and gave His life for us. But He went back to heaven. But one day, Jesus is coming again. One day, Jesus is coming again. A lot of people are worried about a lot of things. Currently, we're worried about the stock market. Currently, we're worried about, well, where's my retirement? Where did it go? It's gone. We're worried about, perhaps, the auto industry. We're worried about a number of things. And without mentioning too much about politics, we wonder, are we in some sort of a recession? Will we go into a depression? What's going to happen? But the Bible says that there is going to be a day when Christ returns. We worry about a lot of things, yes, and we should worry about them. But we should also worry about eternal things. What am I going to do with my retirement? What's going to happen after I'm no longer able to work? What have you? Those are valid questions. But another question is, what am I going to do when Jesus comes back? Now somebody say, well, is that crazy Christian talking about the end times again? Well, crazy or not, call me a fool if you will. But Jesus Christ is coming back. Jesus Christ is coming back. There's a number of promises, and I won't flip to it, but you can read, for instance, through the book of Isaiah. And it talks about there'll be no more sickness, no more disease, no more killing, no more war. Now, it's a popular thing to stand up and say that we hate the war. We hate the war in Iraq or what have you. The Bible says one day that Jesus will come back and He will put down all war. He will put down all death. The Bible says that Christ will reign for 1,000 years. And there'll be no more death. There'll be no more corruption in office. There'll be no more drugs. Well, are they going to take away my drugs? What do you mean, preacher? Well, drugs, they're fun, I suppose, but drugs cause a lot of destruction. Alcoholism causes a lot of pain, causes a lot of marriages to fall apart. But one day Jesus is coming back. And whether we're ready or not ready, He's going to turn the world upside down. All the crooked politicians, they'll be out of office. He will set up His kingdom, which will last 1,000 years. And I encourage you to be ready for His return. I encourage you to get your heart right with God now, because we don't know the day or the hour when Christ will return, but He will come back. Christ will return. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.